both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Rider and the Fighter. I am your co-host, David Golden, for OregonSportsNews.com. With me is my main man, Jake the Half Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA. What's up?
What's cracking? No finger pointing today, huh?
I did it low.
You just didn't see it.
All right. I double finger gunned it.
You fucking double finger blasting me?
Yeah, that's right.
Neato. All right.
Always out here finger blasting Jake. That's how I do
Well, let's not get that rumor started.
But, it's not a rumor. I do it every week.
I guess so. There we go. That's that's the kind of finger blasting we're talking about, people.
That's right.
Nothing's being inserted.
It's like that South Park finger bang.
Yeah, I want a finger bang bang. classic.
Yeah, South Park is always good.
Oh, yeah, dude. I've been doing like a little bit of... I guess nostalgia watching.
Yeah.
Like I've been watching a lot of South Park and a lot of King of the Hill lately. Yeah. Getting really into King of the Hill. Yeah.
I got another buddy who's really into King of the Hill. It doesn't do it for me.
You know, it's the subtleness of it because it's supposed to be one of those wacky cartoons where like, you know, it's all these unrealistic things are happening, but they do like, they slide in these little underlinings of fun. I don't know. I just enjoy the little underlinings of funniness to it.
Yeah.
You know?
There are some subtle, like pretty funny jokes in it, but it just never did it for me. I don't know why.
You gotta watch it elevated, sir. That's the key.
I tried plenty of times in high school, man. It just wasn't my thing, but yeah. I get it. Some people,
your perspective actually, you know, it changes too when you get older.
It sure does.
Because I used to not be that into it as well.
Yeah.
Like I'd kind of watch it like, it's, you know, it's on, it's entertaining.
I get a couple shows like that where I didn't like them early on and then I liked them later. Like,
yeah.
The first run of Family Guy when it came on and got canceled, I wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It was just too... It was too, like, nonsensical.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the cutaways weren't doing it for me. And then when it came back, I was like, oh, this is funny. And I went back and watched the old ones, and I liked it. Yeah. And then another one that took me the longest time to get into was Always Sunny.
Really?
Yeah,
man.
I just hated how forced it felt, like,
really?
To me early on. And then I went back and just, like, I don't know. You know what happened? I saw the Extreme Home Makeover episode. And
the Mexican family.
And he's like, when they go to their house and they're fucking like screaming, "Tell me where your daughter is. This is the happiest day of your life." It was fucking
man,
that shit was so funny.
I love It's Always Sunny.
I get it. And I went back and I watched them all, and it was great.
Like, yeah,
I felt super lucky because everybody had already seen it, and I got to enjoy it way late.
See, I came into it late too. Mm-hmm. Like I randomly, you know, caught an episode on FXXXX, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't bad. And then, you know, and then it was on Netflix, and that's when I started watching. And once I watched the, like, the very first episode, and I was like, this is how they're starting off their shows with this, like, blatantly racist, like, it was just so funny and how they pushed the envelope. And I was like, how did this show not get canceled just from this one episode?
Yeah.
You know? And that's what I enjoy of it.
Yeah, I like it, but it took me the longest time to get into it. My one homie would get so mad at me.
Yeah.
And I'd just be like, dude, they're just not good actors. And he's like it's so hard for me. And he'd get mad. He's like, you like fucking Friends. Fuck you.
Yeah, well, that's...
And I'm just like, dude, but you don't understand. Like, I'm trying to explain to him the difference. Like,
yeah.
I like Friends. Like, this is just like classic sitcom, stupid, throwaway, mm-hmm. you know, thing. Like, I'm not invested in it. But, like, you know, it was fine, you know, but... But I don't know. I just didn't like it at first, and then finally, when I started it, like it clicked for me.
As long as it's clicking now, I can respect that. That's...
I don't think I watched the most recent season though. I think I still have a season I can watch, but whatever.
Season 12 is good.
Yeah, I'm sure they're all fucking good. It's a great show.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Yeah. I'm excited for the new one. But yeah, well, enough about us mirandering about our TV watching.
Mm-hmm.
Should probably get into some. Try to get into some MMA stuff, huh?
Yeah, we just had fights just went down yesterday. It was UFC on Fox 30.
Well, see, that's
on
where
Big Fox.
That's where I fucked up because I thought it was on Fox Sports. That's why I was like, I didn't record.
No, that's what happens.
Fucked up. Well, as you guys can tell, I did not partake in watching the fights. I fucked up. I went to go see Bobby Lee with Ryan Walker, who was supposed to be here today, but he's a fucking idiot, and I don't know.
He doesn't like the sound of his own voice.
He just doesn't listen. No, that's his problem. He doesn't listen to people. Well, I think the problem is he's too high. Like, I ran into him at 24 like 3 different times since he's been here. Not scheduling to meet up or anything. Like, he's in town, and I just happen to be at 24, and he shows up, and we run into each other in the locker room. He's like, "Oh, hey, dude." And, you know, we'd be talking, and then I could just tell, I'm like, what I'm saying to him is not computing, and I just have to sound like, how fucking
he's
high
on
are
vacation,
you?
Man.
Yeah, yeah, he is, but he also just takes it so far. He's like, "Yeah, I'm pretty fucking high." I'm like,
"It's 420 somewhere."
Yeah, right? Well, that's usually around the time. No, he's out there. He's wide out there with it. He's very proud. He lets his parents know. And yeah, man. So, you know, he kind of fucked me over a little bit, because while I was at the show, he goes, "Oh shit," you know, reading the results. And I was like, "Hey man, don't tell me the results. I'm gonna watch them when I get home." As soon as the show gets done, him being stoned as fuck, he forgets that I told him not to tell me the results. Alvarez got knocked out by Poirier. Well, thanks, dick. Thanks a lot. You just ruined fucking my podcast. Not only did he ruin my podcast, but he was also supposed to come on today, but then he booked the fucking tattoo appointment, which I told him we're recording at noon. So, as you can see, I'm very upset with Walker Mania.
Well, I hope he wore his finest moccasins to go get his tattoo today. And
yeah, you know what? He does wear like fucking sandals and shit like that. He wears weird footwear everywhere.
You know, I mean, if the moccasins weren't bad enough, those vests he wears with the tassels, I can't get into
the
it.
The tassels.
The beadwork is gorgeous. But
right,
you know.
Yeah, yeah. He cries every time there's litter on the ground.
Dude, I've seen
single
it.
Tear.
I've seen it.
It's the weirdest thing, but he's super pale, so I don't get that. But anyway, so you actually watched the fights. So yeah. You should actually you have some knowledge. So once you hit me with some knowledge, let me know what went down.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you saw some of the highlights at least.
I saw highlights, but,
you know, there were some good fights. When I'm looking at the main card, the thing that stood out to me was that the three top fights. So there was one fight on the main card that was Alex Hernandez. He's like the number 13th ranked lightweight.
Yeah.
He's coming in off of a knockout of Benil Dariush.
Yeah.
And so he came in there with some hype, and he was fighting Olivier Aubin Mercier, OAM, as they want to call him. Like, first of all, just because you have three names doesn't mean that you have to go by your three initials. You know, like if you have a hyphenated last name, fine. That's your problem. Don't put that on me. Like, I didn't fucking slap you with that stick. That wasn't me, man.
Well, they're just trying to make it easier for you.
No.
OMA is not easier than whatever you said his name was.
I guess. But I'm just saying, like, just because you have that, I don't like... RDA,
I'm gonna
GSP,
be,
OMA.
I'm going to change mine to JCS.
JCS, there you go.
Because, you know, my full name.
Yeah, but, you know, whatever.
I think that's kind of cool, dude.
I guess, man. I just feel like anytime
JCS, as I'm walking in, everyone's like, fucking JCS is here? I'm like, yeah. Do you know what that stands for? No, I don't.
JCPenney, that's what I'm going to call you.
When Jesus Christ Superstar. That's what it is.
There you go. I just can't get behind it, man. I don't get it. Like I don't care if you have a hyphenated last name. It's not my fault. I didn't do that to you.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
All right. Well, then I guess, from now on, you're pronouncing everyone's full and fucking name.
Sure. I want not? You because you know I'm so
don't
good
you say
at pronouncing
George
St. Pierre.
You better say George St. Pierre.
I will call him George's St. Pierre.
That is, yeah. You know, I do have a problem with that.
Yeah.
That upsets me.
You know.
You're George.
Yeah.
You're fucking
exactly.
George, too.
Hey,
they're not multiples of you, okay?
No, there's just one. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, so that fight was on the main card. But aside from that fight, the three fights ahead of it,
yeah,
all could have been like main event worthy.
Main
events? Yeah, absolutely.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. So I actually thought that Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Tisha Torres was the co-main. I didn't realize they weren't.
That's what I thought, too.
Exactly. Because the co-main event was Jeremy Stephens and Jose Aldo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
You see?
Yeah.
And then you have Eddie Alvarez and Dustin Poirier. Like, that's... Those are all three. Like, those could all be an FS1 main event for sure.
Yep.
And anytime Joanna Champion fights, like, I'm in. So
yeah,
you know, I think she could have at the very least been the co-main event. And actually,
I feel like that got more hype than the Aldo Stevens fight.
I think a little bit, but I think it meant more for the division. Realistically,
you think so?
I think so. So when you look at Tisha Torres and you think about the losses that she has, like, so she has this loss to Yan Jacek, and she also has the loss to Rose Namajunas. And so,
there's one more she lost to, no?
I can't remember what it is off the top of my head, but...
It's like that other Russian girl, right? Like, Kalechki or something.
I don't remember. It was... I'll tell you real quick here. Jessica Andrade. And so now she has back-to-back losses, but prior to that, those are her only two losses, Jessica Andrade and Rose Namajunas. And, like, to get into title contention against someone you have a loss against, like, even though she's top five, you have to get a big win. And beating Joanna and Jacek, like that's going to be a good argument for you, you know?
Yeah.
But now she comes into this fight. Yan Jacek dominated the fight from start to finish. Like, the commentary, I felt like they tried to give a little bit to Tisha Torres because she did put Joanna against the cage. But even throughout the first round, she has her up against the cage, and Joanna is landing these brutal knees. Like, brutal. Like, she is just working her body, working her body. Then they separate, or actually, they turn it around, and she keeps her against the cage. And Joanna is way bigger than Tisha Torres. Yeah. There's a huge size discrepancy when you see them out there, even though Tisha Torres is a little muscle shark.
Like, yeah.
And she's all ripped, and did notice some... relatively strong back acne on her. I'm just going to say, I don't know what that means, but, you know, I'm just throwing it out there. And you know, so she's strong, know, she's strong. She's out there doing her thing, but she could not overpower,
Ioana.
You know, she couldn't overpower Yan Jacek. She couldn't get her down.
Yeah.
You know, she got her down for all of like 2 seconds and she popped back up. And, you know, that was a problem that, Yan Jacek had early on in her career. And she's corrected that like mightily. Her takedown defense has rapidly improved.
Oh yeah.
And, man, watching her fight, like it really makes me appreciate her striking. Like, she, you know, you see a lot of guys or girls, they'll get in there and they'll fight and they'll just circle one way. They'll always circle the same way. They'll circle away from the power. They'll circle away from the power. Like, she will start to circle one way. Boom. She'll move back the other way. Just as soon as you think that she's going to keep going that way, she stops and she steps in and throws a punch. Then she circles the other way. You never know which way she's going to move. Even if she circles halfway through the octagon and you think she's got a rhythm going, boom, she moves back the other way. She's always moving laterally. Like, the only strikes that she threw, like, single strikes from were a jab and a front kick. Other than that, she was not just throwing one strike. If she threw a straight right, it was off of a jab. If she threw, you know, she's throwing combinations, always more than one punch. Like, she's throwing to the body. I mean, she was working her game. Like, nice. You know, she won handily, 30-27 on all three scorecards. But you could tell that by the end of the third round, like, she was just getting into a rhythm, and she's been used to fighting these five-round fights. And, like, if that fight went five rounds, by the end of the fifth round, Tisha Torres would have looked a bloody mess. Like, really? There's no question in my mind.
Like, it wasn't even, like, competitive at all?
No. Okay. I mean, the thing that was most competitive about it was Tisha Torres did put her against the cage in the beginning of the first round.
Yeah.
And there was one flurry where she finally let her hands go, and she clipped Yan Jacek a couple times, which is something that she's susceptible to, you know? Susceptible to. Like, that's something that she could...
That's like a Muay Thai thing.
Yeah. Well, but Joanna doesn't land with the same kind of power as other people in that division, right? She's not knocking people out generally. No. She overwhelms you.
Yep.
You know, she might overwhelm you with a serious combination, you know, like that Chuck Liddell stoppage she had, you know, that, like, she just you know. So you know, it was exciting. She looks like she's really, like, working hard still, which I think is important. She seems driven and determined, and now she's saying that she's just not going to 125 until she wins her belt back, which, okay, I get you. I feel where you're coming from. I learned during the broadcast that, I guess, she started handling her own nutrition again, where prior she was working with a nutritionist and she felt like it kind of fucked her up a little bit. So she's back to doing her own nutrition, and she says she felt stronger and better. She made championship weight at the weigh-ins. She have to, you know, she just went up there, you know, hits that mark, hits 115 on the dot and says, let's fight, you know? So that's kind of cool. Says a lot.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Tisha Torres didn't seem afraid of her or anything, you know. I know you're a big fan of Tisha Torres.
I mean, not really.
Well, you like her, I will say.
I would say at a point I thought she was cute, but, you know. I was just talking to Ryan actually yesterday, like before the fights, we're talking about it. I was like, yeah, Tisha's, you know, I was like, yeah, she's cute. And I was like, you know, I was really into her. And then I saw her fight and I was like, oof.
Yeah, I don't mind her fights.
See, I liked her before I saw her fight. See, I was just like, oh, this chick's cute. You know what I mean? One of those kind of things. And then once I saw her fight, I was like, eh. But, you know, I hold, it's another thing me and Ryan were talking about too, is like, you know, I feel like women's MMA gets, the word isn't benefit of the doubt. What the fuck is it? But they're not held to the same standard as men. Right? No, it's 100% not. If you...
I mean,
I'm going to get some flack for this. I know it. I know I am.
That's okay. This is something a couple people have asked me to. A couple people have said you and Jake should talk about how you feel about women's MMA, because I think you guys have differing opinions.
Here's where I'm at with it. So if you watch the, you know, whoever in the women's MMA and they're doing whatever, you know, their techniques, right? Mm. And you're watching their techniques. If a man was doing those same exact techniques in the same exact way, you would say, oh, that's a low-level fighter. Let's be honest, right? There's a lot of stuff women do, and they go, okay, well...
There are some exceptions, you can't, obviously.
Of course there is, yeah. Like, you know, Rose, right? Very technical.
Mm-hmm. Jacek, incredible.
Ioana, right? Mm-hmm. But even sometimes I look at some of their stuff, and I'm like, well, elbows a little bit flared out, a little bit... You know, there's little incremental things. I'm not saying I'm even, you know, the best. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm just saying, like, a championship-level fighter for a woman... It is like, I don't know, maybe a top 10 for a guy. Is that wrong to say? Like, is this coming across like I'm not trying to be misogynistic or this and that.
No, but I see what you're saying.
It's not like, you know, everyone wants this whole equal opportunity, equal rights, blah, 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 blah. Well, then we should hold equal standards as well, right?
I see what you're saying. I think the thing that's different here, and the thing that I look at and I have to... Is that
it's newer?
Well, it's not that it's newer. It's the talent pool, right? Like.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know, and you don't have as many people. So like iron sharpens iron. Like you don't have the same amount of people there.
Yeah.
And the sport for women is not as developed as it is for men because it's newer. Like, you know, you didn't have women's MMA back when MMA started. And even if you did, it was like some serious, like, back of the room, underground shit at a bar, or like those old cyborg fights, and you're like, where the fuck is this? Like,
yeah,
you know, so it's a little bit different. I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, I do see what you're saying, but it's hard for me to look at it that way, because I have to look at each thing separately. Like, yeah. I try to look at it separately, and I think the thing I like about women's MMA that I like maybe more than men's mixed martial arts is that when I watch them out there, even if the technique isn't perfect, I appreciate that they're trying to use the technique. And I see in a lot of men's mixed martial arts, I see a lot of guys just trying to use strength to get a sweep, or guys that are trying to use their athleticism to win them a fight, when if they would just use the technique, if they would use the thing that they drilled, they would probably dominate a fight, you know? Like you see that a lot. I mean, it happens all the time. And so I look at a guy like, here's an example, and I thought of him earlier because before this we were talking about speed being super important. I look at a guy like Melvin Gillard.
Okay.
Like, as athletic as you're ever going to get.
Yeah.
Like he is, you know, like if he were bigger, he could play in the NFL, like at one point, you know what I mean? Like, super duper athletic. Like, could have got a scholarship to any school he wanted for some sport other than wrestling. Like, I'm sure he could have done track and field. He could have done something. Like, very athletic guy. But, like, he went in there and his athleticism won him, like, probably 30 fights early on in his career.
Yeah.
And then when he started fighting guys who were technique driven and mm-hmm. also athletic,
yeah.
he started getting worked. Okay. And so like when I watch women's MMA and I watch like Invicta, I see them trying to use the techniques that they're taught. It's not necessarily perfect, mm-hmm. but like I see them doing it and I appreciate that aspect of it. And so when there is someone,
so who it's kind of like
out, when there is someone who stands out, it's really impressive. Like,
yeah.
like I'd say it's really impressive, and I get what you're saying. I look at them separate. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't look yeah. at them as exactly the same thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying, right?
Done by two different groups, you know?
Like, exactly. So there is a difference. That's what I'm trying to point out.
There is a difference, but just like there's a difference between Division One and Division, you know, Division Two, and you know, if you're D6 bound, it's a little bit different, you know? Like we were talking about Austin Vanderfort. Like, yeah, he's a national champion wrestler at an NAIA level. He's mm-hmm. not a Division One All-American.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put him in there and asked him to wrestle like Colby Covington, just straight wrestling, he would probably lose. Like,
yeah, maybe,
you know
maybe.
What I mean? Like if you're a guy who competed at that level, you know what I mean? I don't expect there to be like a straight wrestling match between, you know, Phil Davis and John Jones. That they're not going to have a straight wrestling match. Maybe that one's more competitive because John Jones is a freak athlete. But if you're like just wrestling, I have to go, well, Phil Davis, Division One, national champion. I'm taking those credentials. Like,
but I mean, at the same time, like it's still there. But my point is the fact that, you know, we do hold women's MMA to a different standard. Which you
said
just,
it a million times.
Yeah,
there are levels to this.
There's levels to this shit. That's all my point is.
I agree that way. But I personally look at it a little differently.
Yeah,
just
and that's great.
The purity of it is there to me. Where the sport now, I feel like for. The highest level for men,
mm-hmm.
I feel like sometimes there's people playing the game, you know, like trying to win on points.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you're fighting to win, not fighting.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like,
or you're fighting to not lose.
Yeah, and there's a purity, like there's a purity that I see still that still exists in women's MMA that almost doesn't. In the UFC, I think it exists more in Bellator than it does in the UFC because I feel like they're investing in like young hungry guys,
yeah.
and the guys in the UFC who are kicking ass, like there was a Russian dude who fought on this card on last night, trains with Nurmi, with Khabib Nurmagomedov, and trains at AKA Islam a little guy. Bit, yeah, Islam something or other. I think his nickname is I don't know, doesn't matter. Anyway, that guy's young and hungry, and he went in there, he dominated, got a very decisive win. You know, you look at young hungry guys, and those are the guys that the UFC is finally putting some money behind them a little bit. They're bringing in some new talent, which is nice, but Bellator is doing way more of that, and so you see some more purity in the cage to me. And the same thing in women's MMA. I look at it and I feel like they look at the competitive challenge and they're like, yes, this is what I want, and I'm into it.
Okay, that was a lot. Like it like bounced like three different places. I'm like, okay, where am I gonna go with this? what I meant. So, okay, yeah, I agree with you with the purity of it, and by that I mean the purity of sometimes I feel like they're just lost and they're just fighting. Like, does that make sense? Like sometimes I feel like a girl will go like, ah, shit, I'm about to grab her head and throw her head and arm, and then like chick's like, ah, I don't know how to counter a head and arm, and then she's stuck there, and the other girl's just kind of like holding her headlock and punching her in the head. And you know,
like Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, but you know, I'm just saying, like, there's moments in it where it's just kind of like,
yeah,
yeah, it's behind, right?
Yeah.
And the only reason why I bring that up, actually, I don't even know why, I can't remember why we started talking about this, but like, you know,
said you like Tisha Torres. That's how.
Oh yeah, started. Yeah, that's what it was. And then I watched her fight, and I was just kind of like, ah, she's a little bit, you know, she's not that good. And well, and another thing, like you're saying, you know. The whole like you know it's the it there's not as many women, you know, the iron sharpener,
yeah,
everything.
Talent pool is not as
yeah, because I mean there's, let's be honest, there's people in the UFC who are, you know, 2-2.
There are a handful out there,
right? And it's just because, well, you're a pretty girl,
yeah.
More than, you know, you deserve to be there, and you know, and that fuck, I wish Ryan was here. There's just some shit, man. Yeah, there's just some stuff.
Behind the scenes drama.
Well, no, it's not behind the scenes dramas, but let's just say there's a conspiracy theory we have. Mm-hmm. You know? It's some, yeah. Anyways, so moving on to the next fight.
So Joanna wins. She wins handily.
Yeah, which I'm a huge Joanna fan. Her striking is sick to me. I like the way she throws her combos and the way that she, you know, her punches are straight and she's coming like four or five at you just like a piston. Mm-hmm. Bop, 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 bop.
Yeah. Well, and I like her mental attitude, man. Mm-hmm. Like I just like how she is.
Stone cold killer.
She carries herself well. I think
even in law, she doesn't give a fuck. She doesn't change.
Like half of her posts on social media aren't even in English, and I'm still like, yeah,
yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah. Nah, see, I really like Joanna a lot. Like I want to meet her one day.
Yeah, me too. I like her a lot. Hang out. Yeah, she's dope. But
cookies together. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
like I just want to be buddies with her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. She seems like you want to hang out with her. She's into shoes. I'm into shoes.
I don't know about shoes, but yeah.
I got shoes all over, man. I got kicks over there. Got my Jordans on right now.
See, I never got into the whole shoes thing.
That's your loss.
I buy one pair of shoes. Like I have like four pairs of shoes right now at home, mm-hmm. and I wear the same ones every day. I tried to do the whole like, oh, let me switch it up for that. But then I was like, this is one, it's too much work, right? Trying to match up your shoes to your fucking clothes.
Oh, you don't necessarily have to match your shoes to your clothes. But, sometimes, you know, I'll people wear a pair do of it. Shoes that clash is just pow, just to be.
But the fact that you have to even think about that, that's just too much for me.
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I put on whatever's downstairs.
I wear whatever shoe until there's a hole in it. Then I go, all right, time to get a new one.
I would never wear a shoe until there was a hole in it.
I fucking do it all the time. I'm not materialistic at all. And I think that's the problem.
It's
not
about being materialistic. It's about look good, feel good, man. You want to...
Again, I'm not materialistic. Whatever, like, I don't give a fuck. Like,
I just love having good style, man.
I would cycle through the same seven shirts, maybe three different pairs of shorts, a couple pairs of jeans, and these joggers I have on now.
Yeah. I'm a jeans and t-shirt guy.
Yeah.
And the second I can wear a hoodie, I wear a hoodie every day. I mean, shit, you've come over here this summer and I've had a hoodie on. I'll wear a hoodie as often as I can.
Man, I used to wear the same hooded sweatshirt every day for all through seventh grade, every day the same one. And one day, like, it was as hot as fuck. And one of the PE teachers like, do you ever like wear something else? I'm like, nah, this is comfortable. It was the same Dickies. It was just a heavy, good quality sweatshirt. I don't know.
Yeah. I rock a hoodie as often as I can. I'm going to always have jeans and a hoodie. I'm going to be buried in jeans and a hoodie. Like, there's no question about it. Like, that's what I wear.
You should write that in your will.
Oh, I don't have to. Everybody knows.
Like, my wife knows. Put you in a suit. Like, no, just keep me in a hoodie.
Absolutely not. Jeans, t-shirt, hoodie.
Nice.
Make sure I have on clean socks. Like, you know what I mean?
Okay.
That's what I want.
Isn't that weird that we bury people with shoes?
Oh, I know what shoes I'm going to be buried into.
What?
My Tiffany Dunks. Like,
I don't know what that is.
It's just a specific shoe. I got married in them. Is it like?
Oh, it's like a dress shoe?
No.
Okay.
They're Nikes.
All right, sweet, because I'm looking at your merit, like, you know, you can't see your feet, but I just assume that you have like
I got Nikes on in it.
That's dope.
Everybody in my wedding wore tennis shoes except for like the bridesmaids and shit. Like they wore nice shoes, but Sarah wore sneakers, I wore sneakers, all my groomsmen wore sneakers. Like, yeah,
all right,
yeah, I'm into kicks, man.
That's cool. Yeah, I, you know, it's
anyway cool. Yeah, but that's about the only thing I care about.
A lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
It's an expensive habit.
It used to be. I've really toned it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've really toned it down. But anyway, enough about my shoe game. My shoe game's on point. That's all you need to know. All
right, so we got that. So Jose Aldo and Jeremy Stephens.
Jose Aldo and Jeremy Stephens was a pretty interesting fight to me.
See, and a lot of people were saying Jose Aldo was done, right?
Uh-huh.
Jeremy Stephens is going to knock him out, this and that and the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think only a select few people went with Jose Aldo.
A select few people, and Jeremy Stephens apparently was the favorite in this fight.
Yeah.
If I had known that Aldo was an underdog, I would have went and signed the deed of my fucking house over. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I
would have bet money immediately. Mm-hmm. Immediately. That's so crazy to me. Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, so let me just read this off to you. Hold on. I'm going to pull something up.
Sounds good.
Okay. First of all, Jose Aldo fighting in a three-round fight was super weird to me, and I wondered, when was the last time this dude fought in anything other than a 5-round fight? Like, he's always been scheduled for 5 for, like, the longest time. His last fight that was scheduled for 3 rounds was June 7th, 2009. Like, that's a long time ago.
Yep.
You know, that's a long time ago. And that fight was Cub Swanson, and he hits him with the double flying knee. Right? That was the infamous double flying knee knockout. Yeah.
How fast was that fight? It was like 8 seconds?
Super fast. It was. You are spot on. 8 Boom. Seconds.
Man, good I'm job. Fucking good at this fighting stuff, man.
WBC
should be like...
featherweight title eliminator knockout of the night. So he knocks out Cub Swanson. He goes down to knock out Mike Brown, mm-hmm. to destroy Uriah Faber's legs in a decision.
And to send him down to 135.
That's right. Then he knocks out Manville, the Anvil Gambarian. Then he has the pretty tough, close fight with Mark Hominick. Then he beats
Kenny. I mean, was it close?
Well, I mean, you know.
It was close the last, like...
Yeah, the last round.
Or 5 minutes of after Aldo beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, and if you want to see one of the most disgusting hematomas you've ever fucking seen, go watch that fight. Mark Hominick looked like he was growing a baby on
his
head.
And then he was never the same after that fight.
He sure was not.
It was kind of weird, huh?
It was. He sort of slowly but surely disappeared.
You think it's because his homeboy died, or do you think it's
I'm sure that has something to do with it. All of those guys took that really hard.
Yeah.
So Mark Hominick, then he beats Kenny Florian, then he knocks out Chaz Mendez, then he beats Frankie Edgar, then he TKOs the Korean Zombie, then he has the decision against Ricardo Lamas, then he has another win against Chad Mendez, then he suffers his first loss in like forever to Conor McGregor with the knockout. You know, some people say it was a fluke knockout. I don't think it was. I think Conor McGregor is an accurate power puncher. And, you know, didn't go his way. Granted, it was quick.
I would honestly like to see them fight again.
I would too.
And just see how Aldo came at it differently.
I would like to see that too.
If Aldo's like in a cool, calculated thing, I think it's a much, much, much more, well, obviously much more competitive.
Yeah, maybe. But Aldo got landed on pretty hard in this Jeremy Stephens fight.
But see, he didn't get knocked out either, though.
He didn't. But
so it almost makes you think like maybe his chin isn't completely gone.
No, I don't think his chin's completely gone. I don't think that's the case. Anyway, so he has the win against Frankie Edgar. Then he fights Max Holloway twice, loses those, and now he fights Jeremy Stephens. So this guy has not had an easy fight in 10 years.
Yeah,
like it just hasn't happened. And Jeremy Stephens goes out and tries to make it a firefight like he does. He landed a couple of those monstrous Jeremy Stephens uppercuts.
Right. Oh, it's uppercut.
But Aldo lands some shots, like, you know, lands some shots that you can see start to stagger Stephens, and Stephens starts to slow down. Like, mm-hmm. before the first round's over, Stephens is starting to slow down.
Yeah.
When Aldo sees it, he throws overhand right, left hook to the fucking body.
Yeah.
And it sounded loud, like, you know, when it played in real time, it was like, and Jeremy Stephens hits the can't, like, he does that back up, grab your liver, yep. fall down thing.
There's nothing he can do too.
No, like, absolutely,
it's crazy.
Yeah, man. And Aldo, you know, gets on top of him, starts beating him up. He then, while he's on the ground, Aldo does a hammer fist back to the side again, and you see Jeremy Stephens wince and roll away, mm-hmm. and Aldo lands 2 hammer fists to his head, and the ref stops the fight. Jeremy Stephens contests it.
See, I was going to ask you about that, because I was watching. I was like, he's technically still moving, right? And I see that the ref did, you know, I can see why the ref was stopping it, because he was mm-hmm. taking some damage. But at the same time, like, what else could he have done at that point?
You exactly. know what I mean? What else could he have done? But I don't think it was that he... I don't think it was the fact that he was, like, was or wasn't moving.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was Aldo hit him, and he turned away completely defenseless. Like, he turned away from him and just put his face into the canvas and was like, ow, don't hit me anymore. That's what it looked like. Like,
okay.
I mean, they show it in slow motion, and you can see, like, Aldo hits his body, and Stephens goes, fuck, and rolls away. And it's like, he doesn't cover his head up. He just rolls his face in the canvas. Aldo lands 2 more hammer fists. And, like, what the fuck, dude? Like, he's gonna finish the fight there anyway. Like why do you need to take unnecessary damage?
Yeah, I mean,
like, we talked about it a bunch. Like, why?
Well, I mean, yeah, I can see why he was contesting. He's like, well, I'm not out.
Yeah.
You know? So every fighter, whenever a fight, it's very rare for a fighter who gets TKO'd when they're not unconscious,
uh-huh.
not argue the stoppage. You know what I mean?
But But do you want to get put unconscious? Like if I'm like, hey, here's the deal. Like, I won't stop the fight, but in about 10 seconds, you're going to be out cold. Do you want to keep going?
I guess we take that chance. As a fighter,
you yourself on this podcast have been like, why do you need to take unnecessary damage? Ref, stop the fight.
No. Them listen, from themselves, hey, right? Yeah, exactly. No, I'm 100% with you on it. But I'm saying, like, if you're asking me as a fighter, mm-hmm. going, these are your options. You're gonna get pounded out on. I'm gonna come in and just save you, or we're gonna wait till you're unconscious. I'm going to say, you know, I'm going to gamble on myself and take that chance of getting out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You never know. It's one of those things, like Alistair Overeem, Travis Brown, right?
Uh-huh.
That could have been stopped too.
Probably should have been
stopped. Right, exactly. See what I'm saying? Where, who knows, like, what? Let's say Stevens, you know, he's rolling, he grambies, he eats a couple shots, whatever. Now Jose Aldo's fucking gassed.
There is a chance that Aldo gasses. There for sure is a chance because he was really unloading on him. Yeah. He even almost took his back at one point.
Yeah, I saw that part. Yeah, I saw that. do I disagree with that? I'm not disagreeing with it, but I'm just saying I can see where.
You see where he's coming
from. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, there's a part of me that, like, when I first saw, I was like, maybe that is early stop. But I was like, he's eating a lot of shots. I mean, you know, your body.
He'll go back and he'll watch this fight and he'll you know. He can do it one of two ways. He can look at it and go, look, I wasn't out. Or he can look at it and go, all right, like he kind of had me.
Yeah.
Like, and the other thing is, you've seen fights, like they will stop fights when the dude falls on the ground and is just holding his side, not defending himself before you even get there.
I think sometimes with body shots, I think there's no shame in getting stopped with a body shot for some reason. Not. The reason why I feel that way is because when you get hit with a body shot, there's literally nothing you can, like, when it lands perfect,
mm-hmm.
your reaction is out of your control.
Yeah, like, absolutely. No, it's your organs are shutting down and going, so, don't do this.
It's just a matter of, like, okay, he just caught me. You know, it wasn't that. I necessarily want to say, like, oh, this guy just outclassed me or something. Mm-hmm. Like, if you just get caught, like, I feel like there's, like, okay, well, I can go back and maybe we can run this back and, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's not as hard to swallow.
Yeah, I would agree. That's what it seems like to mm-hmm. me. The one thing I will say that's interesting is there are some people who can handle the shot and there are some people who can't.
Yeah.
It's proven to be the Achilles heel of quite a few, like, very high caliber fighters. Like, I immediately think of Matt Brown.
Yeah.
And I also think of Donald Cerrone, who later on in his career, he would start getting hit with that. And now people know, okay, if I want to beat Donald Cerrone, I have to kick him in the liver.
Yep.
Like, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, same thing, Matt Brown, you'll get in this crazy slugfest. If you want to just trade to the face with someone, Matt Brown is not the guy to do it with.
Yeah, I agreed.
But if you want to hit him in the body while he's trying to hit you in the face, yeah, do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jose Aldo though looked good last night, man. He looked good. His head movement looked good. I was actually really surprised with how he was moving.
Yeah.
Even though Stevens was catching him when he had him against the cage, but you know, Aldo looked good. But that we talked about this beforehand. Jose Aldo, 31 years old.
Yeah, it's crazy. What
the fuck?
I would never. I honestly would have thought maybe 36, 37.
Easy,
right?
Easy.
Yeah.
If you show me a picture of Jose Aldo and you were like, this guy's 47 years old, and I'm not even kidding, like, if you show me just his, like, a mugshot of Jose Aldo and you told me this guy's 47, I'd be like, oh, look, yeah, looks like he's lived some life.
Yeah,
you know, like, but he just, man, that dude really started looking old quick.
It's just crazy to me, like, you know, it's almost discouraging a little bit when I learn some of these guys' ages, because, like, I look back on when I was watching them, right? Like,
dude, right?
7-8 years ago, whatever.
They were not that much older than you.
And I wasn't fighting then. I wasn't training. Like, you know what I mean? I wasn't even in this lifestyle, really. You know, I was just a fan. And, like, now that I'm 27 and he's 31, so he's already he's defended his title over, what, 10 times or some shit, right? He's held the belt multiple times. Like, you know, he's lost it, mm-hmm. got it back, and then, you know, lost it again.
Had that WEC strap for a while.
And I've only had 9 professional fights. What the fuck is wrong with me? What am I doing with my life? Like,
it's tricky. But you know what? If you lived in Brazil,
that's another thing,
and
too.
And you were fighting back then, like, you could get fights. You know,
see, that's another thing I wonder, too, with some of these guys. Like, did they have amateur fights? Because, you know, I had, what, like 12 amateur fights or some shit?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm coming up on my 20th or 21st fight. but professionally, I mean, you know.
Man, I really feel like people, unless you're like a really young guy and you're not old enough to have a pro fight,
yeah.
I think people oftentimes have too many amateur fights, especially in particular regions. In the Northwest, there's a huge amateur scene.
Dude, there's people. So
it's just too many. Like,
who have like 30 amateur fights.
That's insane, dude. You're not an amateur if you've had 30 fights.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care if you're collecting a check or not. Like, yeah. You're not an amateur if you've had 30 fights. Like, I was talking to a fighter actually from Gracie Baja a few years ago, and I was like, hey, when do you think you're going to go pro? Like, you've had some fights, you know, whatever, the division you're in, you know. It seems like you would be wise. Right now is a good time for you to go pro. And they were like, well, my manager wants me to have like X number of fights. Like they wanted this person to have 10 fights. And I thought, like, why? Because it's a round number. Like, because 10 is like the magic number. Why? What are you gonna do from fight 8 to fight 10 that's going to make that big a difference, when there's this, like, at the time there was a new promotion that was signing a lot of people, and it seemed like this person would make sense to go there. And and it was like, I'm talking to them, and they were like so caught up on what their manager thought, and I'm just like, man, that doesn't
boy or girl.
I'm not going to say what it was.
Yes, who boy it was. Or girl.
I don't have to say anything.
Okay, can you give me a wink if it's a girl?
I can't give you anything no matter what.
Why?
I'll tell you later.
No, because we'll forget.
I don't want them to listen and feel like I'm being offensive. Because I
know, but that's why you're going to wink to me, and I'm not going to say anything. I just want to know.
I don't want to. I just, you know,
because I think I okay. Yep, already know.
And yeah. I just, you know, and I just, you know,
gotcha.
It bothered me, and then I look at, there's another guy who fights for Bellator now, who's from your gym, Tyree. He had a lot of amateur fights.
See, yeah,
and I just don't get that, man. I just don't get that. Like
there's a couple schools of thought, right?
I know.
There's the old school boxing, right? Mm-hmm. Amateurs, you know, 300 amateur fights or some shit, and then, you know, there's, but yeah, so like you're talking about the whole amateur thing. Like, even when I was doing an interview with someone, and they're like, "Yeah, you had quite a long amateur career." And like, in my mind, it wasn't that long. But I mean, what I had, like I said, I had like 12 fights, right?
Yeah, but in what amount of time? That's the other thing. Like, you had 12 fights in
4 years.
4 years, like,
yeah,
you know.
Where I feel like that's, to me, I feel like that's good. That was good, because I feel like there's, I guess everyone's different. There's like the fast track route, right? You can go to Chris Sunshine way, right? He had like 7 or 8 pro amateur fights, but they're all like boom, 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 super fast. And then he went pro, and then he's also had, you know, a super fast career. He's only been doing this for, I don't even know how long.
Not that long.
Like maybe 3 years?
Yeah, something like 3 years. I can't remember. He would spout it off. He would be like,
yeah,
I'm this many, and I'm you know, whatever, 11-0 and X number of years. Like he was, you know, that was part of his shtick.
Yeah, exactly. And where, you know, that's worked out for him, you know, so far. But I also feel like, you know, there's a lot of things you don't know about yourself yet.
Yeah, that's true.
Where the reason why I had the as long as I did it, because there was things I was trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Like for me personally, it wasn't just, you know, win a bunch of fights and then go pro. Like it was, I want to see where I'm at. So I tested myself against different types of fighters, you know?
Yeah.
My very first loss was against a guy named Chris Kidby. You know, at the time I didn't know anything about him. Like the promoter tried to sell me as like, oh yeah, this guy, like, yeah, he's okay, you know, he's a decent wrestler or some shit. I was like, oh, all right, I can wrestle, you know, whoever. Come to find out, he was the team captain for fucking some team. Anyway, some guy, the guy who gave me my nickname, right, Alex Bubb, the all American guy, that was his team captain, right? And I didn't know that until the day before I fought him. And Alex was like, oh, you know, you're fighting, like, I just met him. And I was like, yeah, I find this guy named Chris Kidby. Chris Kidby. I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, good luck. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, homeboy was my team captain and this and that. And I was like, ah, well, whatever. Like, you know, I was confident. I go out there and fight this guy. And of course, you know, he was just taking me down. Cause I never worked. In my mind, I never thought like, oh, I can get taken down. So I never worked any stand ups. I never worked any takedown defense against the cage. There was things that were holes in my game. I was fighting at 185. This guy was huge.
I was going to say, that's another thing is you worked on getting your weight down and getting, you know, finding out where you needed to be. And that's totally different. Right. And also you probably right out of the gate were like, I'm going to go to the UFC. I'm going to go to Bellator. Like, right. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a little different. And some people have that mindset. But when I look at a guy like Jose Aldo and the number of fights he's had, and you look at Jeremy Stephens and the number of fights he's had.
Exactly.
Jeremy Stephens, if we're talking about being like old young, Jeremy Stephens is 32. And his first fight in the UFC was in 2007.
So he was 22.
2007?
Yeah.
That's over a decade ago.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. And, you know, and the thing too.
It was like UFC 71.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And when you were talking about it, because Stevens isn't like this super successful guy. He's been underneath the radar, I guess, in the UFC for that long. But like, what was the most wins he's had? Like two or three?
He's never had more than a 3-fight win streak in the UFC, but he's had 3 3-fight win streaks. Okay. So I mean that's
good. I wonder what his longest like losing streak is, because there was a moment where there was a point in time where I remember every time
it's also 3.
Yeah, like Jeremy Stephens would fight, like, oh, this guy sucks. Like, I've never ever watched a Jeremy Stephens fight until fucking maybe last year or so, like when he's had his little blow up, where I was like, oh, this guy's good. I just was kind of like, ah, fuck, this guy again.
The thing about Jeremy Stephens is he's always exciting.
Exactly.
You know, he's down. Yeah. I mean, he's down to throw. That's kind of his thing. He's always exciting. So that there's that, you know, so there's that fun side. But he has certainly worked on making his game better.
No, he's definitely, I would say he's legit as fuck now, but I'm talking about, like, you know, early on, Jeremy, like 155 Jeremy Stephens, no one was talking about
him. You know what he was like to me? He was like a more skilled version of Joe Riggs.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like Joe Riggs came onto the scene like a little.
You know
too,
what?
Like
I wouldn't even say
early.
More skilled though.
Really?
Joe Riggs. He had a when Joe Riggs was on top of his shit, man. He has decent wrestling, decent jits.
Decent wrestling, but he relied so much on his
boxing. Yeah.
He had one fight where he cut a guy from the bottom, and you fucking thought this guy invented striking off of your back, like, to hear him talk about it.
Really?
Yeah, man. Going into it, so he has this fight against Matt Hughes. It's going to be for the title. Joe Riggs misses weight,
so it's not a title fight.
Matt Hughes fucking destroys him to show, you know, like, well, and not just the Kimura. I mean, he was just working him. But Joe Riggs, before the fight's like, I got so much striking off my back. Put me on the ground, Matt Hughes. I'll fucking cut you. Matt Hughes is like, everyone can throw an elbow from their back. Yeah. Like Matt Hughes' interview was like, it's not like he invented that.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I mean, this is a guy who used to fight at heavyweight, like moving all the way down to 55, like in
70.
Or 70, excuse me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think of Matt Hughes and he's just...
Did you ever see Joe Riggs cutting weight?
No.
It was Bellator's like Fightmaster. He's cutting weight.
Oh, yeah.
And he just starts pissing himself.
Yeah.
And like, he's just like, you know, like your weight cuts are that horrible. You're just like, I can't go to the bathroom. Fuck you, man. Like, if I'm your teammate, I'm looking at you going like this. The fuck's wrong with you, man?
Yeah, right. Now we got to sit in here and you're smelly ass piss.
Well, I'm not cleaning it up for you because I know that's what you're expecting me to clean up. Like, I'll help clean up your puddles of sweat or whatever, you know, because that's what we do. You know, you're as a teammate, but you pissing? Use on your own. I ain't staying around. Fuck you. You're a dick. That's disrespectful, man.
Yeah, not to mention you're probably at like a public place.
Yeah, or even
you're sitting in a sauna at like 24-hour fitness and you're pissing on this thing that some old, like, you know, some old guy's gonna come in there and take a steam and he's gonna sit down in your
or the fucking
piss.
I think he was on a bike, so like the fact that you're doing it on the equipment,
even worse.
It's like, hey man, come on, I got a fight next week. What are you doing? Like, you know,
that's no good. That's not good. When I think about people pissing themselves, I think about football players.
I've heard that too.
Yeah, a lot of football players piss themselves. Well, because they're out there for super long, and to be able to take a piss, like, they don't have porta potties on the sideline. Like, they'd have to go into the locker room. They'd have to get all their shit down. They have a girdle on. Some of them have cups on. Most of them don't. But you know, whatever.
I never wore a cup.
But they're in there, and they got to go in. They got to get everything situated and take a piss. So a lot of dudes just piss out there because they're drinking, they're sweating, they're doing it all. And so, could you imagine being the equipment guy for like an NFL team? Man, it must be awful.
You know what? Dude,
the socks. The socks alone.
Me and Ricky went to a school with a guy who's the equipment manager for, I think he was he was for the Atlanta Falcons, and then now he got not traded, but like now he's with the Rams or some shit. Like that's the thing, and he fucking loves it, I guess.
I'm sure it's a
yeah, but it's just it's kind of an interesting career choice, right?
Yeah, like, but I mean, how often do you really work? And if it pays like a regular job, you get a good amount of time off. Fuck it.
I think it pays better than a regular job.
You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. And you get time off, and you get to travel with the NFL team, and you get to watch the games and be.
Did I ever tell you
free gear, all of that? I'd be into that.
Did I ever tell you the time I pissed myself before a wrestling match?
No.
Did I tell you about the time I shit myself during a wrestling match?
During a wrestling match?
Have I told you any of my accidents during wrestling?
No. No.
All right. Well, which you, I'll go with the piss.
No, please. Go with the poo.
The shit one?
Yeah.
All right. So the shit
number one. Number two is where it's at. Everybody knows that.
So like, you know, talking about equipment, you can't really do anything. So I'm in the middle of, it's the first tournament of the year, my senior year, right? And it's the lowest I ever wrestled. I dropped down to 189. I normally stayed around 215. I even wrestled heavyweight at one point. But my senior year, I dropped down to 189. And you know, I wouldn't say there was hype around me, but there was a little buzz about, oh, you know, he's dropping down, this, that, and the other. I got ranked top 8 in the state, and you know, so I thought it was kind of hot shit. But so I make 189, and the thing is though, when you're in high school and stuff, and you're cutting weight, no one tells you about nutrition, mm-hmm. right? No one talks to you about mm-hmm. nutrition, so. I cut weight, and like I'm thinking, like my way of cutting weight, I think at the time was I would just eat fruit, like uh-huh. I would just you know, buy some melons and shit.
A lot of kids would do that.
So then when I actually make weight, you know, I'm just like, oh, all right, I just start filling up on fucking sugar, which leads to the bubble guts.
Mm-hmm.
First match, I'm wrestling this kid from Battleground. It's like my school's school rival, and I throw him for 5, right? So you throw him in the collegiate. Get points for the takedown and then points for the back exposure. So I get my 5 points from that throw. But when I throw them, right, because I'm throwing my hips into it or whatever, I fucking, like it just comes out of me, right? A little squirty dumplings of shit. And I'm like, oh no. And I know this. I'm trying to pin this fucking kid, but he, you know, I can't pin him. He gets off his back. I'm like, fuck. So I'm riding him. And like for the rest of the match, like from the first like 20 seconds on,
did it stay inside of your singlet?
Yeah.
Oh man,
it wasn't like a shit ton.
It doesn't matter, man. If it was at all liquidy, my god,
yeah, it was.
Oh god, I bet it smelled horrible.
Squirty dumplings. So
gross.
I score, you know, my 5 points, and now I still have 2 more periods to go, right? And we're wrestling, and I'm just stalling. Like, I'm not doing anything.
You're crazy. I would have just left.
I'm an ultimate competitor. I don't shoot anymore. I'm just defending. We need
to get you on the challenge, bro. If this fighting thing doesn't work out, that's where you're going.
I'm serious. I'll fucking do whatever. so anyways, I end up I win the match, whatever. It was like 3-5. Like, I just, like I said, I stalled out.
Right?
And my coach is mad at me. He's yelling at me. He's like, that ain't how we win. What is that bullshit? You got to buy a lead and da-da-da. You know, he's super black and aggressive. And just yelling at me. He's like, that's some bullshit. You wrestled like shit. And I look at him like, I shit myself. And I walked away. And he goes, oh, well, all right then. I go in the bathroom and, you know, I had to throw away my whitey-tighties and this and that. And so I was free balling the rest of the tournament, which I don't think you're not allowed to do. Like, because they make you check, you have to wear whitey tighties. There was a whole thing mm-hmm. when I was wrestling. But anyways, I win the tournament. But yeah, I shit myself.
That's something. Yeah. Coming back to win the tournament
from a shitty performance. Ultimate accident. Yeah.
That's rough.
It was, oof. Yeah. So
yeah, a little pee I can understand. But ooh, man, if I shit myself, I'm calling that match. Like, this one's yours, bro. I'm out.
Well, you know, I mean, you're in the heat. Like I said, you're in the heat of the moment. So when no one was saying anything.
Yeah, I get a bad cramp and I'm done. That's rough, man. Yeah. Well, not to take away from this hilarious story, but there was one more fight last night that's worth talking about. It was the main event.
Yes.
It was Dustin the Diamond Poirier.
We all had the same. Me and you had the same Poirier. Picks, right?
I don't know why.
It's Poirier. I hate when people say Poirier.
I just hate.
It's fucking. China. He's from Louisiana, right?
I guess, dude. Lafayette,
right?
Whatever.
And yeah, they're fucking Creole. So let's have some respect. And it's Poirier.
I'm calling him Double D.
All right. Double D.
Yeah, Dustin Diamond.
Okay, all right.
Whatever. Fair anyway. Poirier, excuse me. Fucking pinkies out over here. And
you picked him to win.
And Eddie Alvarez, yes, I did.
Yeah, we had agreed. The same. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I mean, he's been on, like, he's really been on another level since he went to 55. It was a good move for him. It really was.
It was, yeah.
But so he goes in, and the controversy exists in this fight, and Eddie Alvarez is, you're going to hear it from him every day for the rest of forever, I'm sure, that, well, if they didn't stand the fight up, I was in position to win. So let me start from the beginning, since you didn't see the fight. You saw the finish.
Telling me about it earlier.
So early on, the fight starts out, and it is very clear that Poirier is he's moving in a direction that makes more sense to win the fight. Mm-hmm. He's landing the jab, like he's throwing the jab really well. He's he's landing off of the jab. He's landing his left off of the jab. You know, everything was really working for him. He was staying long. He was throwing long front kicks. Eddie Alvarez, I guess, spoke to Justin Gaethje before this fight, and he was like, "Oh, you got to leg kick him, bro. Like, just leg kick him." Like, okay. We talked about it last week. Justin Gaethje has the leg kicks. Like, that's his thing.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to kick him the same way Justin Gaethje's going to kick him. You're just not. Let's not try to pretend like it's going to be the same thing. Eddie Alvarez tried to go for the leg kick, and he landed a couple, whatever. But for the most part, he was getting kind of, I don't want to say picked apart, but you could tell that Poirier was getting into a rhythm way better than Alvarez.
Well, Poirier is just all around just more technical. Like, mm-hmm. And that's the reason why I had him winning. I was like, yeah, he's not going to get caught with the same shit. He's at a different point now, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And by the end of the first round, you could see that Alvarez already had a small cut, and you could, like, the thing that I noticed in round one was Poirier was targeting. He was mm-hmm. targeting Alvarez's left eye. Like, it was very clear that he was targeting the eye, and it was like from the jump, you know? And really? So, yeah, totally. And you could see his eye started to just get redder and redder until he got a little cut under his eye. Mm-hmm. And actually, the cut man didn't come in, and they mentioned it. The cut man didn't come in, and Alvarez's corner's yelling at the cut man, "Get the fuck in here," you know? Like, it wasn't that bad of a cut that it should have made a huge difference. I mean, it's below his eye. Like, come on, you know? Stefan Struve fights with a vagina below his lip, and nobody stops the fight. Like, no big deal. But Alvarez looked good in spurts. Like, you know, if he could get inside, he could land, you know? So he did land a couple of good shots.
He just throws too many. He's always just looking for a dogfight, it seems.
Always, man. Always.
And that's the flaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a huge flaw. And when he does use his technique and stick to his game plan, he can look great, you know?
Yeah.
But there's something in him that's he's a bite down on your mouthpiece and go for it kind of guy. Yep. Like, that's his deal. And he knew that he had to back Poirier up. He had to back him up. He had to get inside on him because mm-hmm. Dustin is long and he used it well. So the first round, to me, it was like pretty decisive round for Dustin.
Okay.
That's how I looked at it. Alvarez, you know, you could argue he maybe landed a couple like heavier shots. So apparently, to John McCarthy, Eddie Alvarez could have won this round because he landed the heavier shots. But to me, it was pretty obvious. And then the second round is where things got a little bit weird. Poirier was again like winning the stand-up battle, but at a certain point Alvarez shoots in and Dustin catches him in a guillotine,
mm-hmm.
and it looked pretty legit. I mean, he caught the guillotine, threw his legs up full guard, and they're up against the cage, and this is when shit gets a little fishy to me, and there's some fuckery going on. Is Eddie Alvarez gets him against the cage and grabs the cage and holds them up. Like, he doesn't let himself fall to the canvas. He holds himself up. And the ref is, like, trying to get him to let the cage go, and he doesn't let it go. And that kind of, I thought was a little bit
shitty. Fugazi, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw people talking about it on Twitter.
that was a little bit weak, but you know, they go down and he gets out of the position and they get back up. No big deal. I mean, they're in the position because Dustin put them in that position by jumping guard. And you know, when he locked in the guillotine, and then they get back up and Eddie shoots in again. And I don't know why, maybe it was instinct or maybe he thought like he could finish it. Poirier does it again, goes for the guillotine again. And this time Eddie Alvarez gets out quickly and pushes him against the cage and gets to mount. And he has him up against the cage and like really heavy hips up against him. Kind of like, you know what it's like? It was like Chael and Bisping. Yep. You know, like Bisping was kind of sitting up, mm-hmm. and Chael has the hips in, and he's, yep. you know, I mean, a really difficult position to get out of, but also like, it's a weird spot, you know, because you're so close. It's not like you can.
Yeah, you're not finishing anyone there.
Exactly. But this is where it got really weird. Mark Goddard was the referee.
He don't like him.
He made some weird decisions this night. Like, he had some very quick stand-ups early on. In a couple fights that were super questionable, like without giving a warning.
Like, I feel like, you know, this guy is just taking too many liberties now, because everyone's like, oh, he's the next best thing since John McCarthy. Mm. And I think now he's starting to feel like, I'm the fucking ruler of this cage.
Well, just, you know, like what I'm saying? Just like we were talking about, if I know your name and you're a part of a fight, like if you are an important part of the outcome of a fight, you're not doing the job that I'm hoping you do.
Yeah, I'm not sold on that fucking guy. I'm tired of everyone's like, oh, he's the best ref. Fuck you. No, he's not.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
He absolutely is not.
And, he's a fucking dick. Now watch, he's going to be my next ref.
Right.
Next fight. I'm going to be like, I want someone else.
Right. Please. Anybody? So
you can do that. You can request that.
You can, but I mean, they might not give it to you. But
I don't believe in British people.
They don't exist. I don't believe that. Yeah. They're fake. It's made up. Fake news.
Exactly.
Anyway, Alvarez has him against the cage, and Eddie Alvarez does the full-on 12-6 elbow. Like, I mean, there was nothing, nothing not 12-6 about it. It was about as like blatant as you can do. Granted, mm-hmm. it was to his shoulder, and Eddie Alvarez was like, "Dude, it's to his shoulder. What the fuck?" He's like, "Yeah, but you can't do 12-6, bro. Yeah. It's illegal. Don't be an idiot." And Goddard, for some reason, like, I would have thought he would have said, "Stop, hold. Hey, Eddie, you can't do that. If you do it again, I'm going to take a point. Get back to action." You know, mm-hmm. keep him in the same spot, but he doesn't. He stands him up.
Yeah.
He stands him up, and it is like a gift from God for Poirier. Yeah. He gets up there, and if you watch the fight, there's a point where he lands. I can't remember if it's a left or a right, and Eddie kind of staggers just a little. Off cam, like, it's a weird camera angle, so maybe he kicked him, but you can't really see it because you could kind of only see it from their waist up. It was a weird camera angle, but I think that's really what started it. And then the barrage happens that finishes the fight. I'm sure that Fox has it on Twitter. You can probably see it online.
Yeah.
It was a pretty phenomenal finishing sequence. I mean, he was landing all kinds of shots, tried to land a head kick.
Even with that head kick, though, he does grab the cage.
Yeah. He grabs the cage.
Which I wonder, is that kind of legal? Because I started to think, I was like, I might fucking do that.
A lot of people do that.
I might do it. I mean, because it helps, you know.
Yeah, a lot of people do. If you do it quick and you go back to punching, no one's going to say anything.
Yeah.
You know.
Helps you to balance, get that leg up there. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And he goes back and he's not finishing him with punches, so he grabs the head and it looks like he's going to take him down, and he just lands two vicious knees to his face. Alvarez gets back up. He lands a monster elbow. Alvarez goes down in a heap.
And the ref stops it.
Ref stops it. And then they look at Eddie Alvarez's face, and you're just like, oh my God. He was fucked up. His face looked painful.
Yeah.
He gets over there, and Alvarez says to Poirier, "Oh, but they stood you up." Whatever, dude.
Alvarez said that?
Yep.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Man,
you were not winning that fight, Eddie
so,
Alvarez.
So, I mean, obviously.
Let's see. Maybe they meet again.
Well, I mean, okay. So this is the end of Alvarez's contract.
Yep, that's true.
So now he was betting on himself. He lost. Now what's he do? Is he go, okay, UFC, here you go. Pay me more.
I'm a former champion.
Yep. And then Bellator, right? He has history there. Who knows? But maybe Bellator's like, all right, listen, we'll pay you the difference.
I think if he doesn't stick with the UFC, I think he goes overseas and he goes back to fighting to Ryzen or to ONE FC.
I can see that.
I can see that for sure.
Yeah.
You know, they liked him over there. He fights the style of fight that they like, you know.
Yep.
I think they'd do it. I don't know. Eddie Alvarez is smart. He's about his money. I think he's not stupid. He knows that he's not moving towards another title shot in the UFC.
He's done it all, man.
He's done it all. He'll go down in history as a noted guy. Yeah. I mean, he won't go down as one of the greats, but he'll be a noted guy, and people will always like his fights. No one's going to say, you know that Eddie Alvarez, he was in shitty fights. No one's going to say that.
Never.
Never. Can't. So, you know, I think it was exactly what I expected, aside from the weird stand-up.
Mm-hmm.
And aside from Dustin going for the guillotine twice. I don't know, it's a little weird, but whatever. You know, he's got jits. He can do his thing.
Yeah, I mean,
but, you know, I feel like if they fought, you know, three more times, it would be the same result.
You think so? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just think, you know, Poirier is at a technical point where Alvarez can't catch up. Also, Alvarez is an older guy, you know, old dog, can't teach him new tricks. So he's in his way. This is the way he's going to fight every fight. You're not going to see Eddie Alvarez come out and do like a fucking, I'm going to jab and fucking run. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's going to come at you. He's going to throw these big wild fucking hooks.
And what's he going to do? Move to 45? Getting older, it's going to be harder to do that. It's going to be harder on your body.
Yeah.
What I'd like to see is Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler just sign to fight each other exclusively for the rest of their career. Just twice a year.
Just keep running it.
Two times a year, Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler should fight.
Just keep running it back.
That's what should happen.
Yeah.
Or just have like have the three of them, him, Justin Gaethje, and Michael Chandler, they just like kind of fight in a circular pattern. They just, you know.
I know Chandler's contract is coming up
it is.
But I know Bellator keeps posting about him, so I'm really interested to see where he goes.
I don't think he goes to the UFC.
You don't think? I think he's going to.
Maybe he will, because he doesn't like what's going on in terms of the title picture there.
Brent's disappeared off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him. I don't know. He got hurt, and then I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
I have a feeling they're going to do a Grand Prix for 55, too.
Maybe.
I think that's the new move for Bellator.
Strip Brent, make him come back. Who knows?
I mean, or just hold the tournament and
whatever.
I want in that tournament.
Yeah, that would be good. Get in that one. But yeah, man, it's it'll be interesting to see what happens with both of those guys, because I think Michael Chandler is also like, you know what you're going to get with Michael Chandler. I don't think he's going to come to the UFC and win a belt. That's for sure.
I think he's capable of doing it.
I don't think so.
I don't know, man. I think him versus Khabib is actually a really good matchup. Khabib's not holding him down.
Khabib is holding him down,
dude. Have you seen him and Usman at it with their wrestling?
I don't care.
You should care.
I don't care.
You should.
No.
Have you watched it though?
I haven't. You should send it to me. I'll watch it.
You'll watch it and you'll go, okay, this is legit.
It's fine.
Hey man, I'm the number one guy to hate on anybody, right? I'm the first guy to hate on someone.
I just don't buy it, man. He just hasn't fought the same caliber of people. I need to see him against.
I mean,
I need
it's to hard to against, say, though, right?
I don't think it is hard to say.
Why?
Because he's not fought the same caliber of guy. He just hasn't. Beating Ripples is not the fucking same thing as beating anyone in the top 10.
So you don't think the Pitbull brothers could be a top 10 in the UFC?
I think one of the Pitbull brothers could.
You don't think the other one could?
No, absolutely not.
I don't know, man. This is where things get tricky, right?
I'm not saying that the talent is bad in Bellator. There are less people there.
That's the thing. That's the hardest thing it's hard to say who's what, because you know you're comparing. Okay, well he's fought this guy and that, whatever. Also, you know, styles make fights
for sure.
But you know, every time a guy who has done well like in these smaller organizations, except for Will Brooks. Will Brooks is the one exception.
Ooh, yep.
That where I can say, like, you know, he didn't translate over.
Nope.
But everyone else, you know, when Strikeforce had the thing, everyone was like, but it's Strikeforce, da da da. Yeah. Once those guys came over, they all became champions.
Yeah, no, Strikeforce guys were very good.
Eddie Alvarez comes over, wins a belt, still won a belt.
He did win a belt. He won a belt.
Yeah.
He definitely won a belt. You know. He did.
For the time that it was there, you know, he was able to do it.
No. Eddie Alvarez is really good. Michael Chandler is really good.
Yeah.
I just feel like if Michael Chandler I just have to see more, man. I just
I'm I agree with you. I know what you're saying.
Agree with it yet?
I know what you're saying. I just know when I'm watching Chandler, like my thing is, I watch him and he gets better every fight.
He certainly gets better. He's
very explosive, right?
Yeah, he's but he's getting a little bit older. Like, you know, and
but he's not that old. How old is he?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
He's got to be how old he is. He's got to be like 32, I think. But even like you watch, like he was this dominant wrestler. Now he's this guy who's found his striking. Like his punches are crisp. They're lightning fast. His technique is fucking spot on. He's 32. On. I'm he's right again. Young. Look yeah, at that, man. I'm fucking good with guessing shit. Fuck yeah.
Look, I like Michael Chandler. I think he's a very good fighter. I just wonder how he does against, you know, anybody, let's say.
No, 100%, man. Yeah, definitely.
I just gotta see him there against some of the guys you consider like the top five guys in the world, you know? I gotta see him in there against those guys. Outside of Eddie Alvarez, I don't know how he's gonna do. I don't know if he beats Dustin Poirier. I don't know if he does. You know what I mean?
I feel like he hits harder than Alvarez. I think everything's a lot more tighter and crisp.
Yeah, but in terms of stature, they're similar size, and can you get inside on Dustin?
No, there's a lot of questions. I mean, like, again, you know, it's always,
you know, shit. They're not even the same weight class. I wouldn't mind seeing him fight Chad Mendes.
I've always said that just because of their bodies.
Yeah, exactly.
That was always been one of my dream matchups.
I'd like to see that because I think Mendes is faster than him. I think Mendes' striking is as good or better than his. And
Chandler's got to be. Well, Chandler's not a big dude.
He's not huge, man.
He kind of walks around like a prissy.
Whatever. I don't hate the guy. I just
remember running into him in New York and standing next to him like, oh, he's fucking tiny.
That's how I felt about Brent Primus is a pretty well-built guy, but he's little.
You think so?
Like, I don't know.
He's big. That's a big boy.
He's big. He's big for where he fights, but it's just like, you know, you like run into a fighter and you see him out there and you expect him to be a little bigger. Like, you know, he's not super tall. You know,
see, like when I match up with Brent, I'm like, fuck.
Well, he's strong. There's no doubt about it, and he's strong. I mean, he's well built.
Yeah,
for sure. I just like, you know, he's not like
no.
Like the perfect.
He doesn't look as big as he
is. Ed Herman. Like people don't know how big that guy is. When you meet him, you're like, fuck.
It's pretty big.
He's
dude.
A big guy.
Yeah.
Like how were you not fighting at 205? Like you're a big fucking guy. You know. I mean, granted, he can make weight a little easier now that he has one, you know, half of a finger gone. You know, but I'd be interested to see what happens with Michael Chandler. On one hand, I think he'd go to the UFC is because he doesn't like how things have been going in Bellator. Mm-hmm. Like he's been a little bit bothered, and now he's talking about he's a prize fighter, this and that, and he just, you know, he doesn't care anymore.
Of course, yeah.
So like, if you don't care anymore, you know. But if you come, but here's the thing: you come to the UFC. You are not the face of the company. You're not the guy they promote the most. And if you lose, bye-bye.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they'll give you a couple of shots, but yeah, it's definitely... Like,
they might keep you around.
You'll get a main card fight against a top 10 guy.
Absolutely.
Starting out, yeah.
But, you know, you're gonna slowly find yourself not being promoted the same way you used to be.
I guarantee you they go right away into Alvarez and Chandler if they both sign with the UFC. I think that's the first fight they make.
I don't know. I feel like Eddie Alvarez wouldn't sign it.
Really?
Yeah. He's one of these guys like, oh, we've done that. You know, I could just see him being like, I don't want that fight again. Like, you know. Like,
yeah, maybe.
Going the Gilbert Melendez route. Like, I don't want to fight Josh Thompson anymore. This is stupid.
And
like,
I miss those fights.
Right?
Dude, I was a huge Josh Thompson mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really like him.
He's a nice dude. I met him a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice guy. But anyway.
Yeah, there was some shit we wanted to talk about. We didn't even get to it.
No, we can still get to it real quick.
I mean, how much time do we got?
We're at like an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, really?
An hour and 13 minutes, something like that.
All right.
We wanted to talk about this. Do you want to talk Lopez or Arnett? We'll do Arnett first, and then we'll bring it home with Ricky Simon.
Okay.
All right. So if you're not interested in the regional MMA circuit, this isn't necessarily your part of the podcast. Feel free to turn it off if you.
Well,
suck.
I mean, they're both still UFC guys.
They are, so. but you know, we're pointing them out because they're Pacific Northwest.
PNW.
Mm-hmm.
How you like that abbreviation?
I like to say PAC Northwest. I say PACNW. Like when I write it out.
I don't like that.
Whatever.
I don't like it at all.
It's okay. I don't PAC, like hyphenated last name.
PACNW.
Uh-huh. Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, you want it. You were right out PAC Northwest. You can't just put...
Well, I usually just write the whole thing out because Pacific people Northwest. Who don't live here don't think about it. They overlook our region a lot.
Yeah. You know?
But anyway, last night on UFC on Fox 30 was the second fight in the UFC for Austin Arnett, guy who trains up at Sick Jitsu with the guys like Sam Cecilia, Michael Chiesa. You know, they're all buddies. Austin is a dude who I met way back when Titan was here. He had a win with Titan, and he's a very nice dude, a very likable guy, hardworking guy. But he has not had a good run in the UFC. His first fight in the UFC was kind of just a quick mauling. You know, he got hit in the body, went down, got beat real fast. You know, that's going to happen. You know, you can kind of point to octagon jitters or whatever, you know. But he had been around UFC shows for a long time. He had cornered Sam Cecilia a couple times. He'd been there with Michael Chandler a few times. So I would think that Chiesa a couple of times. So I would think that, like, he'd feel a little bit better about it, you know, like, but first fight didn't go well. And this fight, I was really hoping he'd do a lot better. But he didn't look great, and he had a pretty decisive loss. I mean, it was a unanimous decision loss. I guess I just wanted to mention it because, like, to all of the guys who are headed to the UFC, if that's your goal or you want to get to Bellator or something, if you go out there and you take two losses right out of the gate, there's a good chance they're not going to have you back. So, like, I'm not saying Austin's going to get cut or whatever's going to happen, but he underperformed in both fights. And in this fight, he seemed a little gun shy, and, you know, he seemed like he was out there trying not to lose, you know.
The pressure might have been on him because of the first loss, you know.
Sure.
That's a thing.
He just wasn't letting go. And it's like, when I listen to, so this is a guy who has a strong taekwondo background and karate point fighting background. When I think about that and I think, you know what, man, there are people who are successful in the UFC who use those styles.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if that's what you did, why isn't that what you're using here, you know? And in the second round, he comes out after getting some pretty stern advice from his corner to get out there and get in the guy's face, back him down, and throw your straight punches. Like, that's going to hit him. And he does start hitting him. And DC's like, look at that. He's landing the jab. He's landing the straight right. He can hit him every time. Keep doing it. But leg kicks get him to get gun shy. He backs up. And he just spends the rest of the fight, like, on a bike, you know? And I was a little surprised. I expected more from him, and I'm sure those leg kicks put him in a weird spot. I'm sure the pressure from the prior loss put him in a weird spot. I was hoping to see more. I expected him to rebound a little bit better. I root for the guy, you know, but I kind of wonder now. I've heard on the scene from a couple different promoters that, so his dad is his manager, and I've had more than one promoter tell me that his dad will turn down fights. So, like, did your manager / trainer / dad put you in a bad position because he got you fights that were more winnable for you? You know, that's a question I have
time
to
out,
ask.
Time out. Hold on. Like, he's turned down fights regionally?
Not.
I don't want him to listen to this and think we're discrediting him, because I think he's phenomenal too. He's great. He was on a win streak there for a minute. You're tweeting about him. Like, I never talked to the guy, but, you know, I'd retweet your stuff when you'd be like, oh man, he needs to get a shot.
He absolutely won
how many in a row?
Like it was something like 11 or 12 in a row.
Yeah.
But the question becomes, like, were those fights that your manager looked at and was like, these are winnable fights, I'm going to sign you up for these fights? Because you said it yourself earlier, when you were an amateur, you were looking for fights that were going to challenge you. So,
yeah,
like,
yeah, you got to, like, pick the right ones at the right time. Yeah.
Like, but, like, so did he get put in fights that almost padded his record? I don't know. You know,
yeah.
Like, I'm not saying 100% for sure that's what happened. I'm just saying I've had more than one promoter tell me that. And that doesn't mean that it's true. They could have been lying to me.
No, I mean, you know,
promoters lie all the fucking time, you know, so who knows? But I had more than one promoter tell me, you know, he got offered a fight, you know, against so-and-so, and they shook their head and said no, and I don't know why. And that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean that, yeah, you know, that it's even true. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that his dad did find fights for him that were advantageous. But I will say, I know it was hard for him to find fights. Mm-hmm. And so I do question those promoters. Like, is that true? Because I know there were times when he was looking for a fight and people were not willing to fight him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, part of the problem being when you're a regional guy and you have like 14, you know, you're like 14-1, people don't want to fight you.
Yeah.
You know, case in point, Ricky Simone, same problem. People didn't want to fight him,
mm-hmm,
you know? So maybe that's the case. I don't know, but I like Austin. I think he's a talented guy. I hope the UFC gives him another chance, you know,
yeah,
even if they put him on the fight pass prelims or something, give the guy another chance. You know, he's gonna put it together. I think if you give him one more shot and you know, that might be exactly what he needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he goes back, readjusts, you know, maybe switches it up and, you know, gets training at another camp for a little while just to kind of switch it up. Who knows?
So on this note too, this is something I've been thinking about a lot lately too, that kind of ties into this is, cause like, you know, I've been thinking a lot about Anthony Smith lately, like, mm-hmm, cause you know how he went on that little run, mm-hmm, whatever. And when I was doing that other podcast, Joel, he's buddies with Anthony, and he was telling me the story about him. He's like, you know, Anthony Smith at one point, he was 5-6, right? He, yep, was talking to some journalist or someone, and he's like, yo, you're going to, you know, one of these days you're gonna be following me, talking about my career in the UFC or some shit. You know, 5-6 guy, everyone's like, oh, yeah, whatever, you're 500, yeah, dude. Well, homeboy just kept fighting.
He's got a lot of fights.
Exactly, right? Got a stint in the UFC. He got cut, and then, you know, kept fighting, got his stint back. So, like, where I'm getting to this is, you know, I'm thinking about it, because, you know, I'm on my first, quote-unquote, run right now, right, in Bellator. And, you know, things are going great, and I like to be a realist, and sometimes I think, like, what if I hit a string of bad luck, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at these other guys, I'm like, well, you know what? These guys kept going, you know? And, yeah, and I think that is a lot to do with maturing as a fighter and stuff. So you have these experiences. I mean, I don't know Arnett. I mean, he has more experience than me. I'm not trying to give him advice or anything, but I guess what I'm saying, if he hears this, is, you know, keep your head up for one.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, you lose. It fucking happens. Right. Two, odds are you've made it to this level before, right? You know what it takes to get there. And now, maybe, I don't know what, you know, like I said, I don't know him personally. Like, maybe in his head, maybe, you know, he's questioned stuff. Like, maybe I didn't belong here. Like, you know, like you're saying, his dad might have turned down a few fights.
Maybe.
You know, and it takes a certain fight for you to realize, oh, shit, I do belong with these high athletes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think once he makes that little switch or whatever it is that's going on mentally, he'll realize that. And when he gets his second shot, he's gonna run off with it.
If that's what happens.
Exactly.
You know?
So I just think, you know, I guess what I've been dealing with is just knowing that we have whatever it takes to get to this point. We didn't make it here by mistake.
Absolutely, like,
you
not.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
There's a very small percentage of us who get these shots and opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fact of, okay, now you've had these setbacks. Are you able to overcome this and, mm-hmm, still dig deep and go, you know what? I can get back there. Or are you going to say, yeah, you know what? Maybe this isn't for me. Let's find option B. Yeah. So something you got to ask yourself. But like when I look at guys like you know, Anthony Smith or fuck Chell. Chell had, you know, he got dropped by the UFC, yep, came back, da da da. There's countless guys who have done that and then made amazing careers. So, mm-hmm, you know, if Austin's listening to this, I would just say, hey, man, if you do get cut or released or whatever, fuck it. You know, just keep doing your thing and you know. I think he'll be back.
I absolutely hope he is. I think he deserves it. I think he's worked super hard.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a rare guy in that he's one of those guys that you talk to him. He's real smart. He's well spoken, mm-hmm, and he's a guy you can sit down and have a conversation with about, you know, about fighting and
yeah,
and he doesn't act like, oh, I'm a fighter, I know more than you, mm-hmm, you know, when he's talking to people in the media, and there are some of those guys out there. I think Austin's an awesome guy.
Probably like me. I'm a lot like that, I think. Like, I'm just like, yeah, you stop talking.
Right. But, yeah, I like Austin a lot. I think he's a great guy, and I hope the best for him, and I really hope they don't let him go. you know, yeah. but my concern is two losses and the way each loss happened. The first one, like, okay, kind of fluky. Second one, they give you the chance. And granted, they did, it was kind of a tough matchup. They put him in a tough matchup, hometown favorite.
Yeah.
You know, guy with really good striking, blah, yeah. blah, blah. But yeah. anyway, Austin Arnett, good, you know.
He'll be back.
He'll be back. Keep your head up, man. And then finally, before we get out of here, we just wanted to talk a little bit about Jake's number one fan, Ricky Simone.
yeah.
Ricky just had his opponent change for UFC 227. And unfortunately, it came about an hour. He found out that his opponent was out about an hour after it was announced that he and Benito Lopez would be fighting on the main card of UFC 227. They bumped him up to the main card, and everybody was super excited about it. MMA Junkie was like, yo, Ricky Simone, Benito Lopez, moving up to the main card, you know, MMA fighting. Everybody's posting about it. It was pretty exciting. And then I see a tweet on Twitter, and I was like, it caught me off guard. And I thought, what does Jake know that I don't know? And I sent him a text, and I said, what's up, dude? And he was like, Benito pulled out of the fight.
Allegedly, I said that because I told Ricky I wasn't going to tell anybody.
But you told the one person who would keep the secret.
I did. I told him, and he asked if he could leak it. I said, nah, I can't do that, dude. Ricky said that don't say anything because the UFC specifically told him. Because I don't know how the UFC works. I don't want my boy to get in trouble.
Absolutely. So. Nope. That's fair. Yeah. I don't need to break news, man. I broke news once and nobody cared, so I don't really give a shit anymore. Yeah.
What was it?
I broke when fucking what's his name, dude, you've been training with him a bunch, Rick Story, when he went down to Arizona and people didn't know that he had gone down there yet. I had been talking with him back and forth. We were having a back and forth on Twitter, and he's like, well, I just changed camps and I'm down here at wherever. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting, nobody's talking about that. I posted about it a couple times. I mentioned a very popular MMA journalist in one of my posts. Mm-hmm. He saw that and then confirmed the news himself. So I don't get any credit.
Fucking stupid.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
Whatever. But that's when I was like, breaking news doesn't mean anything.
No.
So I don't really give a shit. But it would have been nice to break that one just because it was fun. But it doesn't matter. I'm not too worried about it. But
So Benito's a bitch. Let's just say that.
The thing that sucks is this is like the third or fourth time he's pulled out of a fight with Ricky.
Yep.
And like, you know, you pull out of a fight one time, all right. You pull out of a fight two times.
It's the old rule.
Okay.
Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice.
You finally get this fight and it's put together.
Now it's in the big show.
The biggest show. Are you kidding
me? I feel like you have no reason to pull out of any fight.
And it's on pay-per-view. And you're on the main card.
Yeah.
That's out of control, and you pull out of the fight. And now I have heard it's a legitimate injury, is what a couple people have reported. And fine, that's fine. It can be legitimate.
So Ricky, when Ricky was like, "Yo, you know, Benito pulled out again," I was like, "No fucking way." I was like, "What was the reasoning?" He goes, "Cause his ankle's swollen." Okay, right? Every fighter we fight injured. And I get it. Don't get me wrong. I've had to pull out of a fight before. I maybe have pulled out maybe one or two fights in my whole career. And one of them was because I cracked my rib, and the same day I also split my eye. So I had to pull out of a fight.
A broken bone and a cut are pretty legitimate. Yeah,
but see, I even tried to keep fighting. It was a thing. It was a tough fucking decision. No one wants to do it, right? But if I get matched up with someone, you know, two, three times, whatever, how do you fucking justify it, right? And the whole thing too is that's what we kept talking shit to him about. It was like, oh, remember when you're gonna pull out of this one, you're gonna pull out da da da. We were calling it out, and then you go and fucking do it.
Yeah,
I feel like you would do everything in your power to say, oh, fuck it. But you know, he's trying to predict that. Oh.
Yeah, absolutely. And, he doesn't want to lose that. He doesn't want to lose that undefeated mark.
He's not fucking anything special either, because I've seen him fight live. I watched him. I think it was his very first pro fight or something. I maybe have just turned pro too, and so did Ricky might have as well. We were down in Sacramento for Tyson Nam, and I remember watching this kid and being like, this kid's fucking annoying. He was just annoying with the stupid hair and his fucking... Like I said, he's a bitch. He blocked me on Twitter, so... Everyone,
he blocked you?
He blocked me, yeah, because I was fucking giving... We were talking shit back and forth, and I was roasting his ass.
Yeah.
Don't fucking come at me like that, yeah. Fucking pussy.
Well...
And then another thing, too. Another reason why I'm pissed off, because all of his little fanboys and his little family stuff, they would go to Ricky's post, talking all this shit. Benito's going to knock you the fuck out, da-da-da-da. Yeah. And I respect Ricky. I was like, I'm not going to add more pressure. I'm not going to talk any shit, right? Yeah. But I remembered, because I remember fucking everything, dude. And as soon as the news came out, first thing I'd do, I went to the post, found the dude, started talking mad shit. Ain't heard a fucking peep out of him. Right. He ain't saying nothing.
You know, it wouldn't be a big deal if this wasn't like the third or fourth time that it's happened. Like, man, that's, come on, man. Like,
fuck him, man.
That's pretty whack.
Moving on now, right? Yeah,
so now Ricky fights this 6-0 prospect, Montel Jackson, just got a big win. Dana White, yeah. Tuesday Night Contender Series. He's, you know, looks like he's a good power puncher. He's got some diversity in his game. You know, explosive, athletic, you know, good for him. You know, this is a great fight for him, great opportunity for him. Bummer is Ricky's, like, not on the main card anymore, which kind of sucks. But
he's the co-main for the prelims, right?
That's not a thing.
Well, I mean, if you talk, well, Ricky,
come on,
that's what he calls
Ricky, call whatever he wants. That's not anything.
Okay. Well, Ricky, I was trying to, okay.
I love you, buddy, but that's not a thing. There's not you know what? Prelim co-main.
I hope Ricky doesn't listen to this the week of his fight.
I hope that too. But I think this is a very a very winnable fight for Ricky, and I think Ricky knows where his bread is buttered. He'll go out there, he'll throw this guy on the canvas, he'll get on top of him, and he'll get a win.
Yep.
And you know, we'll see what happens. But there's the fight that is the main event on the prelims, if we're going that route, is Brent Johns. He's fighting, and I've been vocal about saying I think those two Ricky and Brent Johns need to have a fight. So, you know, it'll be interesting. They both get wins. I know that Brett Johns, I think I called him Brent, but I think it's Brett. Doesn't matter. British guy.
Okay.
You know, whatever.
Okay.
I think he's ranked, so, you mm-hmm. know, there's a chance they're not going to fight right away. But I think down the line, the two of them will fight. You know, we'll see what happens. But good luck to Ricky next weekend at UFC 227.
Should we do picks?
Bring that big W back. Sure. Who's fighting on that card?
We'll just do Demetrius, Cejudo, and Garbrandt and Cody.
Or, okay.
And
TJ. Yeah, the co-main and the main.
All right. Well, obviously, going Mighty Mouse.
Obviously going Mighty Mouse.
Right,
yeah. Like 100% going Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, I mean, Cejudo has looked a little bit better, but I don't care, man. You're not going to make that leap that fast.
No way.
So
unless something happened to Mighty Mouse between now and his between this and his last fight,
yeah,
it's been a while. So you know, whatever.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, maybe something happened to him. Maybe he suddenly got slow and forgot how to get better because you know, who knows?
Yeah, but we're both Mighty Mouse now. Yeah,
we're both Mighty Mouse.
Main event. See me? I'm going TJ decision.
Decision?
Decision this time.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was a decision, but I certainly still think TJ is going to win. I think he's the better fighter. He's more well-rounded.
Yeah.
He's,
well, fuck, you know, I was kind of hoping you're going to go for Cody.
I hate Cody Garbrandt. I would not.
I don't like him either.
He's very unlikable.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this with Sarah before you came over. I was like, you know, I can't stand that guy. She's like, you know, I don't mind him as much as I used to. You know, like, she
girls
used to not
are
like
into him. I don't get
no,
it.
I don't think she's into him. Well, I just don't think she's bothered by him as much. Yeah. But also, like, we're not currently watching him on The Ultimate Fighter or something.
Yeah,
he's so
just a bro.
And just anybody who has that tattoo of a gun in their waistband, like, you're fucking,
I didn't even
you're
notice
such
that
a douchebag. Like, get the fuck over yourself. Yeah. Like, you...
He, like, super does his eyebrows and
he
shit,
does his
too,
eyebrows, yeah. And, you know, like, there are things I like about him. Like, you know, bringing that kid with him and, you know, and he's doing stuff for charity, whatever. Yeah. Like, that's cool, man. Good for you. You're still unlikable to me. His personality is like...
Yeah. Like, I just don't see me being friends with
exactly.
him.
Exactly. I'm not going out to dinner with him or Dominic Cruz and we're not hanging out.
Especially, like, you know what? Especially Dominic Cruz, man. Did you watch the video with him and Michael Bisping?
No.
So there's like a little video, like they're doing the whole like breakdown of Dustin Poirier and Eddie Alvarez and, you know, they're doing the little thing. And then like there was like a little like... fun little thing they were doing, like where Michael Bisping and him are grappling and Bisping is like, oh, I took you down against the cage, and like you can see that Dominic starts getting serious. Like now he gets upset because, like, and, you know, you took me down or whatever. And the next thing you know, he's like he's doing something to Michael Bisping. Like Bisping's just kind of like playing with him, but then all of a sudden, like, Cruz like shoves his hand into his Adam's apple and starts trying to choke him and like and squeeze it. Yeah, yeah. And then, like, while they're showing the replay, they're, you know, Kristen Bryan or whatever that chick's name is like, oh, ha, 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 look at that, da, da, da. You know, the plane is like, yeah. And then Dominic's like, yeah, but Bisping, could you breathe there? Could you breathe? And then, you know, Bisping, of course, is like, oh, you little prick. Like, you know, yeah. How he is. But it just is like, you're overly competitive. Like, you're just an asshole.
He's an asshole.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to dinner with him.
No, fuck them. You know, I have this, I think it's just 135-pound men are just assholes.
Is that the problem?
Yeah, I just don't like that weight class.
Yeah, maybe that's the issue.
Anyone who fights in that weight class, stop.
Yeah, don't, it's the worst. Stop being yourself.
Don't be a bantamweight. Yeah, you know?
That is definitely the problem.
That's the biggest thing. Ooh, we got abs. All right, you're 135 pounds. Shut up.
Fuck you. Well, I think if both of those fighters win, if Demetrius Johnson wins and TJ Dillashaw wins.
Oh, yeah, then we got the super fight.
And they don't fight, I'll be so disappointed. I
would like to see DJ go up and instead of having TJ come down. Because I think that makes more sense.
I guess, but...
I mean, TJ hasn't cleaned out the division.
I know. But right? Mighty Mouse is the most dominant champion they have. Why should he move?
But that's what I'm saying. He's like, the king. I feel like he
you
should
come
move
to
up.
Him.
Well, the reason why I'm saying is he should
dilly
move
dilly.
Up. Okay. All right. Let's say he can get his... If he wins two belts, then he can really solidify it. I don't know.
That's true.
I'm saying.
You have a point.
Where if TJ drops down, then he wins two belts. It's kind of like... You haven't even beat everyone in your own division.
Let's make a 130-pound belt just for them, and they can fight for it, and then close that division out.
Okay. Fair enough.
Something. Let's do something special. Whatever. It'll be a 130-pound world championship, and the winner then gets to be...
Just make a belt every 5 pounds.
Yeah exactly. There every 5 pounds. Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's that ran a little long, but... You know, hopefully y'all enjoyed that. Please do us a favor. Share the podcast with a friend. Tell somebody about it. Go online. Give us a 5-star written review on iTunes. Be awesome. Give us some retweets and some shares and some likes and all that bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Act like you like this stuff.
or if you actually like it, share it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Be helpful. Don't be unhelpful. Don't be a 135-pound fighter. Is that what?
Don't be a fucking bantamweight loser, right?
Well, we just lost the bantamweight vote.
Don't care. Are they even real people? Like, no. What? Oh, I'm 5'4" and I'm 130. You're not even a real person.
They're not real people, and British people don't exist. Exactly. So that's what you learned here on The Writer and the Fighter. All right. Talk to you guys later.